broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome, Awaken Azoth Dua, and your silence will not protect you. Good evening, la-di-da-di, and every other body, and a hearty hello out to all you light workers and you seed sowers and you truth tellers and you avatars, and of course a shout out to our listening spirit and our Space Force Rangers. Shout out to you scholars out there who do the digging and the memeing, whose work is not for sissies. We want to welcome you here to Empathic Channel. It is Monday, October 9th, 2023, and we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today, as it has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on the road to owning your own experience. I am your host and empathic channel, Leander Grace. The connections are clear and the pipes are wide open. There's a little bit of a rift and a kind of a sadness in the air as we've seen our sister over in Israel, and we see the land of Israel getting pummeled, and there's firefighting being shown, and we're seeing all of this loss of life, and it's very upsetting to most of us. And so we need to remember to continue to lift each other up in prayer as we are witnesses of these things that are being shown to us, and also to continue to pray for Israel and the people in Israel, as well as Judah, our sister Judah, and the city of Jerusalem. It seems as though there are things going on there. And our continued prayer and support of Israel is not just requested, but according to scriptures, it is required. And so I just want to leave that with my listeners and bring that up at the beginning of the hour and remind us to continue to pray for Israel and to continue to pray for the United States of America as we go through our little turmoil of things, and of course lift up President Trump and his family and all of those that are doing things on our behalf. So we need to remember those who are keeping us safe and those who are doing things that need to be done as we see these events unfold on the world stage. And while these things unfold on the world stage, we do continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace. While this great awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, it is an exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing. Now, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. We do plan on keeping our schedule on at 8 o'clock, even on Sabbath, with scriptures and scuttlebutts, just to let you know, as long as, you know, the presidential rallies hold up and it's not coinciding with one of those, and we'll be on the air. So we wanted to say that about that. We do have some folks in the queue to get to. We will be getting to calls here directly. We do want to go ahead and bring at the top of the hour our topic, and our topic tonight, and it seems like right on time, is spiritual fortitude. Spiritual fortitude. Now we know to put on the full armor of God and all of those things, and in a biblical sense and in a scriptural sense, absolutely we need to do those things, and also understand that there are those listening to this broadcast who may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're welcome to the broadcast, and it's this, you know, to show the power of God. God knows that. But he also wants them to know that spiritual fortitude is a requirement, and they'll build them up just as well and show himself to them just as well, those who are seeking. Now, what do we mean by spiritual fortitude? Well, spiritual fortitude is a level of faith. It's faith. It's that knowing that no matter what it is that it looks like on the world stage, no matter what it is that things look like that they're going on, we stay spiritually fit and strong and faithful in the knowledge that God's got this, that we're going to be okay, that things will unfold as God wants them to unfold, and we need to continue to pray in that. And another part of spiritual fortitude is building resiliency. And the way that that is built is through trials and errors. And you say, well, Leon Grace, we're supposed to strive to be perfective. Yes, we have. We strive for progress and hope for perfection. That is the goal. But we strive for progress. And the only way we make progress is through trial and error, because we're not born perfect. And so just as much as this program is about spiritual fortitude and trial and errors, it's also about understanding, just as we brought up in other programs, there are learning curves on the path to faith, as well as learning curves on the spiritual path of knowledge and resiliency and fortitude. Let me go ahead and get a drink. And we did have a few callers on the line earlier. We'll go ahead and welcome them back if they want to come back and raise their hand. We do have one caller on the line holding on with picket fence. We'll bring your call live here in just a little bit. But I do want to kind of set the tone. You know, we'll be talking about accepting ourselves and our trials and our errors and seeing ourselves as we are through our trials and through our errors and looking for those places of progress. Is that not what growth is about? And we're not born grown, and we surely aren't going to school because we know it all, and we don't read the scriptures because we have it memorized. So in this regard, we are continually growing, not just physically, we're growing spiritually, we're growing intellectually, we're growing, hopefully we're growing emotionally also. That can be a harder bit of a road to climb, the emotional growth, because then we have to feel things that may not feel good, and we may not want to feel everything that's there to feel, and sometimes we stuff, and that's where some backward acrobatics and things are learned that we might need to unlearn as we go forward through our trials and through our errors. Let me go ahead and give that call in now. We've got a couple callers on the line now. I want to let you know I see you got a picket fence there, probably a Skype call. Not so sure. You've been on hold for a little while. And then we also have 770 area code. We'll be bringing your microphone live, but you'll be the second caller, not the first. Let me go ahead and give you that call in number. For those of you listening remotely, we don't know who you are. We know that you are. Feel free to call in, join in, listen in. And we also have the chat room open. Feel free to converse and well, you can cuss and discuss if you want, but just keep it down to a dull roar so people are not deeply offended by language. That call-in number for those who want to be part of the conversation is 563-999-3647. Again, that call-in number is 563-999-3647. We'll go ahead and bring the microphones live here in just a minute. Let you know that we'll be taking all the calls. This is a little bit how it works. The guardians are here for guidance. This is guidance from spirit. They know more. They see more. They access Akasha records, those things that are imprinted across time. And they're able to communicate those informations to us for our individual growth. Understand that they're all about self-responsibility. So when you become part of the phone call, you also become part of taking responsibility for the information that's there. You don't have to agree, but if some stuff is there, you know, we're going to take responsibility for our actions and for our growth steps, as it were. So for those of you joining us here for the first time, welcome to the Empathic Channel. And this is how the kind of the readings work. We kind of look to see what's in the middle of the roadblock, some of those things. It's like, you know, the guardians say, if you ask, if you're going to meet somebody, the answer is going to be yes. If you ask if your life circumstances are going to change, the answer is going to be yes. What the guardians are here to do is hopefully, as a school of thought, teach us how to get past those things that we either do see or don't see or won't see or cannot see that may be standing in the way of our spiritual growth or seeing past ourselves and our misperceptions of things. And that's really what it's here for. It's all about you guys. You know, hopefully there's wisdom, but there will be some readings. And we'll take all the calls here in the studio, folks, and I trust my soul guardian team to take care of the filters and the translations and all the rest. What kind of questions? Well, they say it is your call. Simply be respectful, and we'll also be seeking out those questions that bring on like a good global teaching moment, as it were, that maybe you asking a question that a lot of other people are asking as well, so we might answer it in several different ways. Let me go ahead and I think I have enough coffee here to get through. Yeah, I got enough coffee here to get through the program. I'll just go ahead and pour a little bit more, as it were. We'll fill up the tank at the break when it gets there, but we got enough here at this time. I want to share a little bit of some personal stuff. I'll tell you what, God's been real good to me. I've been able to get a hold of some really good coffee. Won't give you the name brand. I'm not here to sell it, but I just want to share the blessing that I'm able to enjoy really aromatic, very robust cup of coffee. And I'm looking to get a new coffee maker too. Thought I'd share that and let you know how that goes. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk to the picket fence. We got 111s across the board, and I am bringing your microphone live. I want to say welcome to the program. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from, restricted or Skype call?
Yes, guys.
Hello?
Melissa. Hello.
Hey, is this Melissa from Colorado?
Yes.
Yes, welcome back to the program. How are you today, hon?
Oh, man, it's beautiful. Loving the air of Earth.
I know, right? It is,
yes.
God is good, and it is good to be alive. It's in spite of everything the way it looks. Is that right?
Yes, that is, yes. Well, you were saying, I have a question. We were saying earlier, you know that I myself have been reflecting, like we were teaching. I've been doing that, reflecting on myself and learning, and I've been going through all that. You know me right there. I mean, it was meant to be, and I there was something you said that I was asking myself, and you know this. So thank you for bringing a thought, because the human life is, it's just like this. Anyway, we make it how we make it, but we like you said, consciously, unconsciously, know that God is real. That's how I feel, and I feel calm when I say this. But my question is, what I just said, you know, can I bypass already if maybe there's a word or an energy or an idea or an image or symbol that I need to think about? Because my friend, this is the first one in all my life, and I feel very connected to him. I feel like I've been with him or seen him in other dimensions, other galaxies.
We're not going to talk about other galaxies and relationships across things that. That's just not where this program goes. No, that's fine. And we don't deal in symbols and glyphs and talismans either. So we don't do that. I mean, we don't impose our will through talismans and heavy thinking towards somebody else. That's a different craft altogether and has nothing to do with the guardians about. What the guardians will say is to pray for your friend. And that's what they have in a nutshell for you, is that at this point the situation is to just pray for that friend that's on your mind. Okay, so because there's no bond against across time and dimensions and all of those things. I mean, there's a lot of teaching about that, but the guardians are saying that's not the way it is. That is a misteaching. There are eternal bonds, but they're in the hands of God, not in the hands of anything inferior to the Creator. Okay, so this is part of what the guardians do too, is they want to cut through some of the crap that's being taught that gets us confused and thinking on flaky things that divert us from the one true God. So that's what they wanted to bring to you, Melissa. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. We have another caller on the line, but they wanted to go ahead and bring that to you to focus more on God and less on trying to control those things that God has under his control. All right, sweetie?
That is right on. Thank you, because I don't really believe in that stuff. I just thought I asked a question. Thank you for clarifying. We all need to hear that. There's a lot of crap going on. And I'm okay for my friend, but just going down the road, can you let the guardians know if the entanglement of confusion will God answer my prayer that we still be friends? My permission, that's all I need to say.
They want you to know that it will resolve fine, but not until you let it go and become resolved. And this is what they're saying by trying to control the situation that is control and is very much in God's control and the decisions that are in somebody else's mind to make. So it's a matter of, in truth, it's a matter of being patient for those things to come about in God's time. And not trying to take, yeah, you go, you bet. That's what the guardians are here for. That's what we're here for, is to teach these things. All right?
I'm honored. One more thing.
And in this regard.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and in this regard, we build through our trial and errors and through the lessons and through the things that we learn, we build our own spiritual fortitude, but it comes from faith in God. I mean, he's the one that's got it, so we might as well have faith in him since that's the one who's running it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen, Melissa?
You.
There you go.
You.
You bet. All right, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And I'm going to bring the other caller on the line, but I want to thank you for bringing these challenging topics to the airwaves because they do need to be addressed. Okie doke.
Thank you. God bless. God
you
bless. Thank you. Love you. God
you bless. Love you. All right, sweetie. All right. Bye-bye. And we'll go ahead and put, there we go. Go ahead and mute the microphone there. And that's Melissa from Colorado. And you know, I'm glad she brought those things to the program because there's a lot of questions about willy-nilly things going on. And here's where the guardians say that they suggest we draw the line. If we're praying for God's will to be done and God gives us an act to do to help fulfill his will in this, then by all means, let's take action. But if we want a thing to occur or happen, or be that as it may, and we're not consulting God's will, and we just decide that we're going to do what needs to be done and take any tool that we think we deserve, you know, we need to have, regardless of the tools that God has provided us, then we're going to run into trouble. Then we're going to end up being a servant of the adversary, whether we intended it that way or not. Again, we do not fight by the adversary's rules. Why? Because they're not our rules. They're not God's ways. And if we fight, you know, there's times we've got to fight fire with fire. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is underhanded, dirty dealing and not following law and ethics and doing things the right way. That's when we become a servant of the adversary, and that's when we become culpable. But if we trust in God, and then we do those things that we need to do according to the scriptures or just according to good orderly direction or just because it's common sense. You know, there's nowhere in the scriptures that's telling me how to tie my shoes, but I got good common sense on how to do it. And I don't think just because it's not in the scriptures doesn't mean it's not something that I don't need to do. And that's kind of the common sense thing I wanted to bring. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at the phone lines again. We got area code 770. I want to go ahead and bring your microphone live. Welcome to the program. And can I get your first name and where you're calling from? Area code 770. Hello, area code 770. Your microphone is live. And there's no one on the other end of 770. All right, so we'll just go ahead and continue on, unless my buttons aren't getting pushed appropriately, but I think they're doing all right. So we'll go ahead and check back with area code 770 a little bit later on. Let's continue with this spiritual fortitude, trials and errors, and talk a little bit about some spiritual resiliency. Now, we know that the adversary is always offering us an easier, softer way, and our ego gets entangled with that. And thank you, Melissa, for bringing that whole message of entanglement, because we will speak about that a little bit. Emotional entanglement, physical entanglement, emotional entanglement, spiritual entanglement. There is a level of quantum entanglement that we won't be addressing on this program. We may address that perhaps at some point. Let me get a drink. But the battles that we're fighting now, the internal battles, Some of them are very external battles, but understand that anything that's happening on the outside more or less is a reflection of some of the battles that are going on the inside. And I'm not necessarily speaking about those things that we're seeing on the world stage and the bombs that are going off and the rockets that are in the air and the threats of war all around about us. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the wars that are going on internally and those things that may be occurring directly around on our physical. Understand that because there is such a great perturbation, for lack of a better term, a great spiritual and otherwise physical and well-publicized perturbation going on over in Israel, over in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean, where we all want peace. It has its effect. It has its effect every time we watch. I haven't been watching the news. I haven't been watching much of it. Because every time that we do watch that, we become affected. Does that mean we need to ignore it and have a calloused heart? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is be careful how much you expose yourself to that, because we change the frequency of the picture. Remember, we are creating according to our expectation. And one of the biggest tricks that the adversary likes to do with us to get us off of our spiritual balance and perhaps get us into a trial or an error is to show us a picture that gets us dismayed so that we begin to believe that picture. And just by our own intention, we start feeding into that negativity in that picture, and we help bring about the other. Now, I'm not trying to shame anybody and say, you shouldn't think that, you shouldn't do that. But I am saying let's be careful and mind our thoughts. Let's be careful about how angry we become about one thing or another. You know, the Father says you can become angry and sin not. You know, we don't want to wish ugliness. We want to wish justice. We want to wish God to be in charge, perhaps. But I think that where we run into danger, where we run into error, and where we run into entanglement, thank you, Melissa, for that word, an ego entanglement or even a quantum entanglement, an empathic entanglement, as it were, is if we focus too much on the horrificness that it is, then there is a balancing point where we see the ugliness and we are drawn or moved to action, whether it's prayer or whether it's reporting or whether it's an accurate reflection or whether it's telling the correct story of what we might be seeing unfolding. And it's also about being patient for the rest of the information. Remember, we know that the difference between the truth and the lie is usually about 72 hours for the truth to come out. So we wait patiently and not let ourselves get caught up emotionally and empathically entangled in the trauma that is occurring to other people, not to us. And so as a way to combat that, just as the Reiki masters do and all of those empathic ninjas, you know, that are posted across the face of the earth, that are transmuting this stuff so that the negative and the hate and the anger and the yuckiness that's going on that evidently must needs go on does not become a contagion for our individual moods and our individual effectiveness of the will of God, because that's what the adversary would like to do, is to get us to focus until we become emotionally entangled. Of course we are affected. Of course we are attached to Israel. Of course our sister Judah is suffering and it breaks my heart. However, the empathic entanglement is by choice, and how we choose to entangle empathically with this scene that is unfolding on the world stage is a choice. My choice is through prayer. When I see horrificness, I give it to God. And sometimes it's just, oh, Father, be with Israel. Oh, Father, protect Jerusalem. Oh, Father, be with your people. Sometimes it's just that simple, because I, as a sensitive and as an empath, I don't want to stay too much in that, because my, part of my transmuting is bring it in and having to go through the whole mood change, and that's just a bunch of waste of my time, because I cannot affect or be effectively affective for the area for good if I'm entangled in the anger that's being displayed. Do folks in that scene have right to be angry? Absolutely. People are being hurt. I know God's got this. I know that the bad guys will go down. I know that God will win. And so that faith strengthens me and gives me the spiritual fortitude so that I can say, dang, that's still happening. Father, be with those people. Father, help us to understand. Father, be with those who are doing your will. And if I can't make, if I don't see who the right and the wrong is, I don't make that call. I let God make that call. I do know this. Israel has a right to protect itself just as any other state or any other nation does. And I do know that the Father is going to make sure that Israel can do everything that Israel needs to do to get this done. Take that for what it is. That's what I have to put on Israel, is a bunch of prayer, a bunch of blessing, a bunch of balm for those who are being wounded, a prayer for comfort for those who are discomforted, and a whole lot of hurt for the enemy. A whole lot of hurt for the enemy. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, how can you be full of love and be an empathic channel and still want a whole lot of hurt for the enemy? Because they deserve pain. And those who have been hurt by the enemy do deserve the justice of seeing the enemy in pain. And I think that we've been seeing that play out for quite some time, where we've watched the adversary be embarrassed, be tormented, be socially ostracized, be absolutely have to pants, be de-pantsed in public. And now here we are. And there was a move against and within the nation of Israel. It hurts all of us, because I think as a nation, actually as the world waits, we're not sure what comes next. We know what comes next. We're not sure how it's going to look. So how do we become, how do we show and express our spiritual fortitude? We pray. And if we run into judgment at this point, we're likely to bring on a trial through our error, because God is teaching us quickly through Holy Spirit. It is a lightning round of education that we are all subject to now. And I was talking to the guardians earlier, and the Father's just revealing to me now, and he's like, yeah, tell them now that in this time of now, because so many things are working, so many things are moving on the world stage, it seems volatile, that our thoughts will bring immediate trials. And now, we said several times before in the program, we're going to go to break here in a minute, we said several times in the program that when we become judges, when we decide that we are going to stand in judgment of a situation prematurely, then we will more than likely stand accused. If we try to sit in judgment too prematurely, we will stand accused. And the reason that happens is so that we can learn the shoes of the other person. And it's going to be happening. We're going to be walking in each other's shoes. We're going to see each other in each other's eyes very plainly, very soon, in a way that we're not necessarily expecting, is what the Father says. In a way that we're not usually expecting, we will quickly see each other through each other's eyes and come to an understanding. So I have faith that that is true. I have faith that that information is correct. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it was given me to give to you. I am your host, Leanna Grace. This is Empathic Channel. I am the Empathic Channel, and we're going to go ahead and go to a break here. The phone lines are open. We'll get back to area code 770. You must either fallen asleep, or you walked away from the phone, or something happened. Anyway, we did give you an opportunity to come on live. We'll give you another opportunity on the other side of the break. We're going to go ahead and go here to the break, and we're going to talk about just exactly those things. We're going to listen to a song that expresses exactly that, those things that are necessary in building spiritual fortitude as we go through these trials, and perhaps we see some of our own errors. And that is praise God in this storm. We need to praise him. You say, well, Leander Grace, all of this is going on. How can we praise God? Praise him because we don't know, and he does, and that ought to be enough for us by now, should it not? That no matter what it is that we see going on in the world stage, even if it looks like it's falling apart, if we have that basic understanding that God's in charge and we will be moved to move when we need to move, and otherwise our assignment is to pray for those that we see need prayer for, and praise God in these storms, whether they're personal or whether they're on the world stage or whether in during this time now we see Israel coming under attack. And I don't, I'm not going to get into the who did what to whose dog on what day in which century on the full moon in the Levant. None of that matters. Those are not issues for this program. The issue for this program is faith, encouragement, edification, education, coaching through some of the rough spots, and above all, pointing to God in all things through Christ and showing others how it is that we do this thing of spiritual fortitude and resiliency. And it's through faith. God's got this. And we learn to praise him in every storm. I am your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back on the other side.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm.
lies we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, being quiet sometimes can be strategic, but usually we end up just swallowing stuff that should really have a way to get out. I am your host, Leander Grace. Welcome back here to Empathic Channel on Holistic Truth, broadcasting live from the high mountain desert through Blog Talk Radio. We're part of a Nazarene network. We watch and we see and teach, and that's what goes on here. And tonight, our topic is spiritual resiliency or spiritual fortitude, and building that through trials and through errors, and the whole growth spurt or the whole learning curve that we as people go through. You know, when I was having this conversation with someone the other day who's pretty smart feller, you know, and it's like, you know, we have to learn all over again how to be humans. And, you know, we look at our dogs, and the dogs really don't need to learn how to be dogs. They have to learn how to behave in a human world. But as far as knowing how to be dogs, they don't have any hang-ups about that. They're just going to go out there and be dogs in the yard and be dogs. But we humans, we operate at a different level, and we do things all kinds of weird according to the way the dogs look at us, right? So we have all these rules of behavior and this and the interaction. We have all these higher thought things that we think that we do, but we can't figure out how to be humans, it seems, sometimes. We have words like humanity. What does that mean? You know, you should be humane. Well, what does that mean? You should be more human. Don't be inhuman. What does that mean? There are certain expectations that we have as a species that include compassion and love and caring and compassion. And I think it's that compassion that we think sets us apart from the rest of the animals, but we're finding out that the other species are compassionate towards each other also, especially mammals and warm-bloods. They're compassionate towards each other. We've all watched the videos on YouTube go viral where there's a duck feeding a fish, or there's some other species of animal showing compassion to one that we would have otherwise considered to be an adversary or an enemy or a prey or a predator. And we can talk about nature and nurture all day long about whether they're in captivity and learned different behaviors. That's a whole different topic of discussion. But when it comes down to it, the animals are just being animals, and we get hung up on human, do we not? And the reason that I say that is because we do still have people hungry in the world. We do still have fighting going on over resources. What those resources are, we'll discuss on another podcast. But we're still arguing, we're still going to war, we're still one person's trying to control another person, whether it's on a global stage, whether it's on all over through the continents and worldwide, or whether it's local, or whether it's in local government, or just in a family. And still have those trying to, those control factors. And a lot of those control factors and that fighting for control over the situation can be resolved if we simply understood that we don't really have control over it. God does. That's more truth of it. We as human beings are not controlling as many things as we think we are. We want to exercise our dominion over things, and that's where we get into trouble, is it not? And we're all kings of our own castles. We have our own sovereignty about us, absolutely. But I'm not sovereign over somebody else, am I? Are you sovereign over another living, breathing human being? And is God's kingdom going to be a tyrannous kingdom, or is it going to be a family? What do the scriptures say? So why is it that we've got one group of people trying to exercise control over another group of people? Is that very humane, the way humans are supposed to treat each other? control each other, to sell each other, to make each other do something? And do we all have that inside, or do we not all have that inside? That's a question. It's not a challenge. Is there a portion of us as individuals, so this is a global rhetorical question for an internal look that requires no feedback, self-inventory. Is there a portion within myself, we ask yourself, is there a portion within myself that would like to rule over people, would like to lord, would like to be the ruler of people? That's the portion of the program that God's going to want to deal with. That's the portion of your program that you might want to hand over to God now. Because that's the portion of the program that the adversary is going to hit hot and is going to hit heavy during these times of turmoil and during this time of storm, bringing us through trials, trying to get us to commit errors, challenging our individual spiritual fortitude to stick with God even when it gets rough. Storms are all around us, skirmishes, wars and rumors of wars, pictures of lack, not enough, hungry people. And still we have all of these other folks on the radio trying to raise money for their own individual products. And we got people at home that are hungry. And we forget how to love those close to us. But we think nothing of sending money to people far away from us. It's not a moral question of whether somebody's doing right or wrong. It's not shaking a bony finger. It's a perspective adjustment. It's a question. Is there a portion within us that would rather give the responsibility of that to somebody else? We'll just pay him to do it, rather than taking care of things locally. Is there something within us as individuals, as humans, and not everybody's going to be made up of the same thing or is in as many degrees, but we all got the same stuff in us if we're card-carrying members of the human race. We all got God in us if we've got root and got a spark. We all are being guided by Holy Spirit if we're asking for it and listening for that. So it becomes a matter of spiritual fortitude. It becomes a matter of showing up. It becomes a matter of no matter what the adversary tries to show us as a picture, we remain staunch and steadfast in our faith that we know God's got this. And once we realize and stay staunch and steadfast in our faith, and we know that God's this, that is 85% of every ego battle that we could possibly play out. Some people call it an ego drama. 85% of all ego dramas, and I'm giving it the really broad margin of only 15%, but 85% of all of these skirmishes have everything to do with not believing that God's in control, of believing that we are the higher power that can make it work, that we are the ones that can rule it, pick in the ones, whoever the ones that are trying to make a bad, nasty statement, or they have an ulterior motive for wanting to run it, because if they don't run it to ruin it, then they would lead to ruin. And I'm talking about those among us who are not human, and we know that they exist. So 85% of all ego dramas that are played out comes from the very basic belief that God is not in control. Because once we understand that God's got this, God made us, God's in control, there's ways that we're going to do this, there's all kinds of arguments of what God is and how he's going to do it and all that, but the basic thing is God's got this, God made it, God, as one of the preachers said this weekend, will maintain it. That's 85% of our ego drama right there. If God's got it and he's running it and it's not our business to try to take charge of it, what are we fighting about? And now it's over resources. Let me close my throat. There's plenty of resources. The only thing that we're fighting over is the belief that there are not enough resources. And we're fighting over the belief that somebody's going to take them, when neither of those things are necessarily need to be true. God did not say he's going to establish a kingdom of lack. That's not what he said. It's going to be a kingdom of abundance. And since we already know God's in control, what are we fighting about? We've got a little bit of cleanup to do on aisle 5, 6, 7, and 8. And we'll do that. The wickedness needs to be swept up. But we do need to be cautious and very careful that there will be a tendency to be swept up with the wickedness as we engage in viewing it over and over again. You know, part of a discipline of not being swept up in the wickedness, for those who would like to know what my trick is to not look at it, to not become engrossed in it, to not try to figure out the wickedness, because it always works the same way. It always works by trying to take away power or to overpower or to fold, spindle, and mutilate that which is human and made by God. It's the same trick over and over. So I am able to not get caught up in it because I choose not to watch it. I don't look at it. I don't become entranced with it. I understand what's going on. I see what's going on. And for those who have to report on it on a regular basis, in depth, my prayers are with them because they do have to become, to a degree, involved in it. And keeping that distance and keeping that empathic barrier is not an option for them. They will be moved by the horrificness that they got to report on, whether they're in the middle of it or not. And this is what I mean by keeping our spiritual fortitude, first of all, by not wearing ourselves down by useless battles. And the useless battles are watching the same horrific images over and over and over again, because you're fighting a spiritual battle every time you put yourself through it. Every time you put yourself through it. So I may have it on one screen where I know what's going on in the background, but my focus is somewhere else. And I'm looking for a flash message or a new headline or this or that. But I can't have it hearing. I can't hear it all day long in the background, how bad this is, how many people are dead, how many people are dying. Do we need to know this? Yes. Do we need to be concerned? Yes. But I'm not going to live in it. If I was supposed to live in it, I would be there. And this is where drawing empathic lines come. This is where drawing those boundaries and that discipline that for those who are empathic and highly sensitive need to acquire and grow, because if we do not do these things, then we will be affecting around us. And so there's no sweat and no worry and no shame in cutting off the negative images. Stay apprised, stay informed, all of those things. But you don't need to drown yourself in those images. You don't need to drown yourself in the negativity of what is going on. It's not necessary. If you were supposed to be in the middle of it, you would have been in the middle of it. But you're not. So since you're outside of it, our responsibility becomes praying for those who are in the middle of it and being of aid in the best way that we can for those who are going to have to go through some of it, and rendering assistance and love and support, whatever that may be, for those who are coming out of it. But it's not our job to get wrapped up in it, become useless in the areas that we can become effective in. And that's another area of the adversary, to divert our attention, you know, with all of the dirty laundry, all the blood and the guts and the this and the that, and get wrapped up in it like it's a movie. And then we forget the real work that needs to go on, because we have other folks doing the real work of this other stuff that's going on. In the tunnels, I understand there's quite a bit of activity that's getting taken care of. And that's good to hear. So we're going to leave those things to those who are taking care of it and lift it up to God, knowing that he's in control, regardless of what it looks like. And in this regard, we remain spiritually fit in this regard by not buying into and selling ourselves to a preconceived idea or prejudgment or buying into a side that we're going to have to judge through and be, you know, judge ourselves through later of why we may or may not have been fooled. Let's watch it play out. Let's watch God take charge. And if an enemy is attacking, everyone has the right to defend themselves. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this plays out, knowing God's in control. I'm upset by it. And for those of you who listen regularly know that what's going on in Israel upsets me. But I know that those things that are going on are those things that must go on. You know, and Jesus told us through the scriptures, these things must come about. Some of these things are going to have to come about. Woe to them that bring them about. But these things are going to have to come about. Knowing that, then we pray about it. Knowing that that is the most powerful thing that we can do if we're not able, especially if we're, you know, if we're not able to do the fisticuffs, and we can pray to those who are having to do some fisticuffs and blowy uppy things. You know, I don't even want to think about the blowy uppy things, but there are those who are very well equipped to do those things that need to be done, to win those things that need to be won, and serve God in all of it. And so those are the ones that I pray to be strengthened, and I pray for the enemy to be absolutely naked, fused. And I wish and I pray for pain upon the adversaries' teams. I want them to hurt. I want God to dish it out and break their teeth and absolutely lay the adversary waste. That's what I would like. Now, knowing that I am not capable of holding that frequency without going into sin and wrath and wickedness, I say, okay, God, that's my prayer. Now, it's yours to deal with and give it to those who can handle those kinds of things. That's kind of how I stay spiritually resilient, looking at all of this and in the midst of all of the storm, and stay full of praise for the one who created us, the one who's got this under control, whether it looks that way or not, whether it's going the way I think it should or not, whether, you know, the picture looks the way I would like it to be painted. Now, we all have a dream of peace, do we not? Well, we all have a dream and a vision of us living together and not fighting each other and being mean to each other and selling each other out for a percentage and actually being okay with that in our souls and coming to know how to live that way normally as a normal way of thinking and a normal way of living and a normal way of interacting. We're not there yet. We're not. Process. That's the learning curve. And why aren't we there yet? Because we haven't been taught that. We've been taught how to hate each other. We've been taught how to go to war. We've been taught how to point at each other and say, I'm glad I'm not like them. That's what we've been taught, whether it's through film or whether it's through advertising or whether it's through, you know, making fools, sometimes making fun of ourselves and each other. It's just the only way that we can deal with it, laughing at each other. But I'm talking about hateful, hurtful stuff. Are we over it yet? Are we grown up yet? Are we ready to grow up out of it and not fall into those mindsets? Of course, we got a little bit more humiliation to do against the adversary. We got some more fun to make. We got some more memes to do for the adversary, for the enemy. That's cool. But let's not meme each other. Let's not make fun of each other. Let's not tear each other up. Let's not divide each other. And understand that God's got this. And we stay spiritually fit. We stay spiritually centered simply by knowing that God's got it and we give it to God. And I think that we'll find, and I'm going to challenge my listeners or advise my listeners or strongly suggest, highly suggest to my listeners that we practice during the week when we find ourselves thinking that we want to show this person or teach that person, or understand that God's got it. God's got it. And so we do, now that there was a way of being taught, you know, of thinking where somebody might, their first thought might be, well, I'm going to show them. So in order to just give an introduction to thought correction, to self-thought correction and how it might be done, we have a few minutes here, is instead of thinking, once you hear yourself, think that challenge of, well, I'm going to show them, ask the Father, Father, is there anything I need to show them, or have you got this? Oh, that's a different way of looking at things. That's a different way of looking at things altogether. Instead of saying, well, I think I'm just going to show them, ask God, is there something I need to show them? And that puts God back in charge. And that opens us up for guidance and direction and keeps us from later on having a trial and an error and requiring a correction to teach us more and to build up our spiritual fortitude. We have it within us, the guidance of the Holy Spirit through Christ. We have it within us, an intelligent species with good intentions. We have it within us to overcome all of this negative crap that we see. We have it within us to think a new way, even about each other, not be competitive with each other, except in the funnest of ways, those ways that improve us as individuals. Little contesting never hurt anything for self-improvement. But understand, this is now the time not to be against one another or against each other or even take sides. But I think now is the time to really be trusting in God, really trusting that the Father's got this, the whole world stage, no matter what it may look like to you and me. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. And for those listening remotely, don't know who you are, but the numbers tell me that you are. And so for you being here this evening, I want to thank you for being part of the program. I'm going to leave you this evening tonight reminding you that it is through the trials and the errors that we learn. God understands our learning curve. A trial and an error is not the same as a sin and a wickedness. It's not necessary. It's not in the same context. These are just basic things that we learn as we grow in our humanity in the way that God would have us go. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We will be back Wednesday night with Holistic Truth. And until that time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. So until next week, good night.